Psalms, the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms in chapter 34. Chapter 34. I just invite you to a word from David. A word from David. Psalms 34. Starting with verse 1, we will read through verse 10. And I'm reading the King James Version today. The King James Version today. And it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He goes on to say, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were light, and their faces were not ashamed. So David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. In verse 7, he said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He protects them, y'all, and he provides a way out. Then he said in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hungry, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And we just going to sit around that verse that you see that's highlighted in red, that verse that you see that's highlighted in red. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And just for a word today, praise for my testimony. Praise for my testimony.
Yes.
Your words have power. Praise for my testimony. Now, I know we only had a couple of testimonies today, but I declare and I believe that everybody on this call today, everybody listening to this message today, has a testimony. You have a knowledge of something that God has done in your life. And if you don't, I'm going to stop right now and let you just declare, let you say, if you don't have a testimony of anything God has done in your life, let us know right now, because we want to pray for you. We want to pray right now. If there's anybody on here, if anybody, you don't have a testimony.
My God.
Speak up right now. You might not be aware. That's okay. We're going to pray that God will make it aware for you. Glory to you. By your silence, then I can't, because I can't hear you, y'all. I can't hear you, and I can't see you. So but I need to, somebody just unmute yourself. Say, do you have a testimony this morning? Is there a testimony that you know that God has been good to you? Do you have a testimony?
Yes. My God. Yes.
Hallelujah. It's important. Yes. You got to be willing to share your testimony. You got to be willing to declare in the midst of everything that's going on that I have a testimony. They used to sing a song, I am a living testimony. Should have been dead and gone, God. But God let me live on. Brother James just said something about their other. I don't know, but his sister's got her peace. But the others in that household, if they didn't say it before, daughter say, I got a living testimony. Mama gone, but guess what? I'm still here. I ain't got that. They done took care of the COVID. I'm still here. That's a living testimony.
Amen.
My God.
Y'all didn't come to praise them this morning. There was praise for your testimony. Praise for your testimony. Well, let's talk about this praise for your testimony. And I just want you to understand that the first thing is my words of praise. You need to know about my words of praise. And David here makes it real clear. David, who had served faithfully. David, who had not done anything against King Saul. You know, David. David, who had slew the lions and the bears. David, who had slew Goliath. David, who had went to work he went to work to serve King Solomon. David, who, when he went to war, because he trusted God, he never came back defeated. Why? He was not alone. David, who, they say, Saul threw thousands, but David slew 10,000. David had a testimony. testimony. Yes. David knew some things. David had done some things. David had seen God just do things above and beyond. There were more things to come. But at this point in his life, David knew about his testimony. But yes. There were some things going on. There were some things going on that we need to understand. And we're going to look at the background of what was taking place. But first thing, just look at what David said. David said in verses 1 through 6, he said what? I will. He didn't say they will. He said, I will bless the Lord at what all times. His praise. And then you notice this thing he wrote. He made a declaration, and then he followed up with the say. He said, I will bless the Lord at all. His praise, not my praise. His praise, the praise of the Lord, what shall continually be in my mouth. David made that clear. There's some things we're going to see here. He said, my soul. He ain't talking about it. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And said what? Then he said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Somebody who's humble before God, they're going to hear about my soul, and they're going to be glad because my soul is boasting. David said in verse 3, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us what? Exalt his name together. Exalt David said, sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me. Said, when I went after God and I saw God, God went to work on my behalf. Isn't that amazing how we hear that over and over? Amen. Some of you right now, you're seeking the Lord, and you need to know that his name, what the Lord is, what he gonna deliver you from all your fear. Somebody heard Sister Marcia, didn't you? She said her girlfriend been out of work for 2 years, y'all. 2 years, but she was seeking the Lord. And when she sought the Lord went to work. She didn't find the job, the job found her. Didn't y'all hear Minister Lisa?
Hallelujah.
We say, wait a minute, guess what? I sought the Lord about what? Having a pipeline that was supposed to be, and all of a sudden, God went to work. And I don't know about y'all, but she got pipeline after pipeline after pipeline. She signed a few deals. God said, what? I'll make it happen. What? You sought me? I'll make it. Somebody needs to understand. He said, I sought the Lord. Say what? They looked unto him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. Said, this poor man, David's talking about, this poor man, David said, I ain't rich. I'm just a poor man. I need some things, y'all. I'm humble enough to say that what? I ain't trying to be full of pride. Said, what? And the Lord heard me.
Thank you, Lord.
And he saved me. Well, why would David write? And just this, why would David write what he wrote? Well, one of the reasons David wrote what he wrote was because David was in a terrible situation. David had served King Saul. If you go to 2 Samuel 21 and part of 22, you can read about it. David, who was serving King Saul, David, who had done nothing wrong, David, who had surrendered his life to God to serve the king, all of a sudden found himself on the wrong side of the king. The king went, David, I don't care how much you did for me. You, the people love you more than they love me. That's a problem, David. That's a problem, David. So I'm coming to get you. And King Saul was in the wrong, y'all. I got to tell you, he was wrong. His son knew he was wrong. His son said, wait a minute. Daddy, that ain't right. All David's done is love you and serve his God. That didn't matter to King Saul. King Saul, I'm coming to get you. Somebody needs to know the king is coming to get you. And when I say the king, I'm talking about the world. The worldly king is after you because of who you are. The worldly king is chasing your skirts and chasing your pants and nipping at your feet, trying to get in there. Oh, the worldly king is putting speed bumps in front of you. The worldly king, this world we live in, is trying to chip you up. But it's 2 Samuel. Guess what? Even Jonathan went to his dad and said, Daddy, don't mess with David. He loves you. But that didn't matter. So David and Jonathan made a pact, and it was agreed that David had to go. But let me tell you what David did and where he went. First, David in 2 Samuel, in 2 Samuel, he's going to say, David went unto the priest. He went out unto the priest, y'all. He said, David came to Noah, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at meeting of David. He said, why art thou alone and no man? Because he knew about David. Why are you here, David? David said, look, the king commanded me a business and said unto me, let no man know anything of the business. And he said, look, I'm in trouble. David said, I need something to eat. David said, I need something to eat. And the priest said, well, you know, we don't have that kind of bread. But the priest knew that David was a good man.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, in the midst of his adversity, in the midst of his going to David, went by himself, the priest gave David some hollowed out bread. So he gave him the bread. He gave him the bread so what? He could go and eat. But see, sometimes when we do things, there's always the enemy got somebody spying on us. And when you look and you read that verse, we're going to find that there was, his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. So Doeg knew, I found out where David is. I found out who was helping David. And it's going to come to play, y'all. It's going to come into play a little bit later. Because Doeg was going to come and tell the truth on the priest. And Doeg was going to be involved with the priest being killed. Saul was just as messed up. He was going to kill the priest who helped David. But David got what he wanted. But David knew, because Doeg was there, he had to leave that place. And later on in chapter 21, you're going to find it said, guess what? Guess what? David was going to have to do something. So David had to find another safe place to go. David left there, and then he went to the king. Said he went by himself. David came to Achish and said to him, is not this? They said, wait a minute. Is not this David the king? The king of the land? Said, is not this David that belongs to Saul? Is not this the David that's the warrior? Why is he in my land? He ain't supposed to be in my land. If he come to my land, he's ready to do me away. He's ready to take over. There would be a problem. David would not have received. But the word says that David started to change his behavior. It's in verse 13. He said, he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself, what, mad in his hands and scrambled on the doors and the gate and let his spittle fall. He acted like he was crazy, y'all. He acted like he didn't have good sense. He was drooling at the lip, y'all. How many of y'all drool at the lip? I ain't talking about when you sleep, when you ain't in control, but you do it while you awaken. You act like you don't understand nothing. And they said, look, you see this man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? I don't have need of a madman, that they brought him to play mad in my presence. Shall this fellow come into my house? And so because David feigned like he was crazy, David acted like he was mad, they let David go. They didn't treat him like the mighty warrior that he was. They let David go. So David was sitting here going, oh, my God, thank you, Lord God, because you have delivered me. Thank you, Lord God, because you have provided for me. Thank you, Lord God. Guess what? I'm going to be all right. David had been doing some praying. And if I was just to jump here right quick, just jump for a minute over to Psalms 102, look at what it said. Look at what it says in Psalms 102, y'all. In Psalms 102 and 7, says, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. David was in a destitute situation.
Yes.
David needed some help. He was living out in the wilderness and caves, y'all. He was running from Saul's army. He knew they were trying to kill him. Do you know what your situation is?
My God.
Do you know, because of who you serve God, there's some destitute after you. They know that the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. You know that he's trying to trip you up. He's trying to starve you. He's trying to get to your ego to make you do some awful things that'll make mistakes. But let me tell you what David told us to do. David said, look at just in verses 1-3, David used words. David used some powerful words. And these words, y'all, will deliver us just like they delivered David. The first word David said, I will what? Bless the Lord. That meant what? Barak. Yeah. David said, I'm going to barak the Lord. I'm going to humbly kneel down before God. Then David said, what? I will praise him. This is in verses 1-3. So I will praise him. The Tehillah said, I will sing a song of praise. No matter what my situation is, I'm going to bow down before God and I'm going to sing my song of praise. I don't care what they do. This is what I got to do. My words have power. David said, I'm going to boast the halal, to boast the crazy exuberant. David said, I'm not just going crazy. I'm going to get crazy. Y'all know, every now and then y'all see it on YouTube, what, a crazy praise break. Every now and then you've been in a place where just seeing the spirit can't stop. Somebody say, it don't take all that. Well, I deny you. I got to disagree with you. It does take that sometimes. Every now and then, your situation so crazy, so jacked up, you got to get crazy in praise to make them go away. Yeah, I'm crazier than you, devil. I believe my God. Yes, devil, I'm more crazy than you. I will never bow down to you. Yes, devil, I'm so crazy for God that I'm going to trust him with everything. So bring it on. I'm going to get a little bit crazy. You get crazy with the temptation, I get crazy with my praise. You get crazy with the lies, I stay crazy with my praise. You get crazy with the doubts and fears and all that stuff, I get crazy with my trust and my praise.
Yes, yes.
He said, well, I will boast. So I will boast. He said, I will boast my soul. Well, deep on the inside of me, you don't want to tell it. You don't come to church. You got to be all nice and pretty. But every now and then, I dare you just to let go and let God in the corner of your house, in your prayer room, whatever. Every now and then, just get your dance on for Jesus. Then he said, well, I'll be glad. I was shamanic to rejoice. I'll be glad. No matter that it snow, I'm glad because you watched me white as snow. No matter I got no money, I'm glad I got a little piece of meat to eat. No matter I got no job, Lord, I'm glad that you still provided the angels and the ravens that come to my rescue. Somebody gets to understand. Say, I'll be glad. I'll shamak the Lord. Then he said, I will magnify the Lord. And magnify means to God, to grow, to magnify, to increase. I ain't going to stay like where I was. I'm going to get better, so much better. If it had not been for the Lord, where would I be? Nobody greater than you, Lord. Lord, I understand. I'm just going to continue to grow and to magnify you. But the harder it gets, the more I praise you. The more they come my way, the more I praise you. The more they disrespect me, the more I'm going to praise you. The longer I've been by myself, Anna said, I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to fail, because there's going to come a day that, guess what? Said David said, I'll exalt, which means the room to rise up, to settle high. There came a day for Anna when she saw the Messiah, she rose up and spoke. There'll come a day that when you're doing what God tells you to do, you're going to rise up and speak. You're going to set God on the middle. You're going to set God at the heart of your life. You're going to set God first. And you're going to understand that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You're going to understand, I know what crossing the Red Sea is. You're going to understand, I know what manna in the wilderness is. You're going to understand that when they bowed down and they had me trapped, you made a way. You're going to understand that even though the enemy tells me I'm no good, will never be any good, that I'll never amount to anything, I am somebody. You don't understand. Yeah. No matter what words they put on you, I'm going to Shabbat, my Lord. I'm going to Halil, my Lord. I'm going to dance before the Lord.
Yes.
David, who was in hiding. David, who was being chased. David, who was being attacked, said, I'm going to praise him. Said David said, my words, the word. Y'all know in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word is God. So what do we do today? We speak the word, because the word was in the beginning, and because we speak the word has power.
My God.
Somebody, you missed that. The word has power. What you say out of your mouth is what you are. And when you speak out of your mouth words of praise, watch, you're going to have a reason to praise. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, y'all, based on the word of God.
Yes.
If you speak the word of God, the word has to be fulfilled. It never fails. So David, in those first three verses, David said, ooh, this is what it says. Old man said, I sought the Lord. Oh, okay, y'all New Testament people. What? Matthew 6:30 said, seek ye what? First the kingdom of God. David knew it way back then, I sought the Lord. So it ain't a new thing, y'all. It's just what? A reminder thing. It's a reminder in the language. So today, I don't talk like the King James Bible. That thing's so confusing. Okay, put God first. And if put God first in you, oh, say God is dope. Okay, that's all right. And if God ain't dope, my God is awesome. My God is awesome. Whatever word tickles your fancy but points you to Christ, use that word. But you need to praise your God.
My God.
He's a way maker. Praising God.
Yes.
He goes and said, they looked unto him. Their faces were not ashamed. What does the word say? We know, so what? If you deny me here, I'll deny you. So guess what? You can't be ashamed.
My God.
Psalms 102 say what? But he will hear the prayers of the destitute. And you know, we have all been in a destitute situation. We all face situations that we don't see a way out. But we ain't God. We trust a God that sees everything. My God. We trust the God that's everywhere. We trust the God that has all power. So I say, praise, your words have power. So today, before you leave this place, today, before you go to bed tonight, today, while you're shoveling snow or doing whatever you might have to do or taking a bite, praise your God. Let your words speak for you. Barak the Lord, kneel down, praise him, sing a song, get both, be Halil. Just get crazy praise, y'all. Just get crazy praise. So your words have praise. So you need to say, my words are praise. My words are praise. My words are praise. He saved me. My words of praise. He raised me. My words of praise. He delivers me. My words of praise. He keeps me. My words of praise. Nobody can pluck me out of my master's hand. My word of praise. He's coming back to get me. My words of praise. He's taking me home to a place that there'll be no more weeping. He's taking me home to a place there'll be no more dying. He's taking me home to a place to be with him. He said in John, what? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will do what? I will come again and receive you. Oh, you ought to praise. And guess what? This world. Thank this the Lord. Place that I live in 2065, and I like 2065, but this is not my home. My home is up with Jesus. I'm just passing through. This is on loan. They might say I own it, but I don't own it. My father owns it because my home is with him. So I'm just passing through.
Yes.
Amen.
He said, my word of praise, my word of praise. And then David, after he showed you what he does, he just praised his God first. He had to get that out of the way before he could teach us what we should. That's what I like about God. See, you can't help nobody until you let God help you. See, when you praising God for who he is, now it gets contagious, y'all. You can share it. So the second point today is try God. He's good. He's good. Try God. Don't try me. Don't try destiny. Don't try that other church. Try God. When you try God, look at what David said. David said, he said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angels, y'all. Do you not know there's not just one angel, but there's a host of angels that have encamped around you because you say, I love the Lord, because you praise the Lord, because you give. Oh, y'all don't believe me, do you?
Did we not hear
in the book, we studied the book of Luke, that when the angels, Jesus was born, the angels said, look, oh, shepherds, there they are, go over there, he's born over there. But then it wasn't just one, say the host came, the whole host came and sang praises. When you in trouble and God has delivered you, the whole host comes around and they rejoice. The word says that when one in heaven except the Lord, the angels, not angel one, angels four in heaven rejoice. You are special. The angels will camp around you.
God.
The angels will protect you. The angels will rejoice with you. When you can't sing, you got a whole heavenly choir that's making beautiful music. Y'all. I sound like a frog, but when I'm singing to the Lord, it sounds good to somebody. My God said, yeah, keep on. You might tell me to shut up, but my God said, come on and sing. Ready? Come on and sing. Sing to me, boy. Sing to me, boy. I hear your praise. David said, ooh, the angel of the Lord encamping round about. Then David said, look, I'm telling you something, y'all. I want you to say, oh, taste. Oh, taste. Oh,
my
taste
God, my God.
That the Lord is good. Now, some of us, when we think about tasting, we have to put it in our mouth. We think about the physical aspect of tasting some dish. Well, I got to tell you, unfortunately, that part of our sense gets dominated by another portion, and that's what we see. So if we look at it and it don't look right, we don't want to taste it. And this is something important to us. I come to tell you, many of y'all have had my pound cake, okay? And I made some cupcakes, and I have to declare, it don't all look like what you go to the bakery. I'm not in business. I make them, but they always taste good. I had somebody say at a picnic once, oh, you made those? I said, yeah. I said, did you try one? He went, but he was honest. He said, no, they didn't look too good. He said, so when they don't look good, I don't eat it. He told me this, and I was glad because that's the way we were. I said, well, let me tell you something. Before you go by what it looks like, just taste one. And he took a taste. And after he took a taste, he went and got another one and took another taste. He went, I never would have thought it tasted like that. Unfortunately, we look at our surroundings and we look at things and we don't hear. So, but taste says we need to perceive. It said, oh, taste and see. If you taste God, if you try God, you'll understand when you try it for yourself how good he's good. He's not just okay. He's really, really good. Now, don't taste it. Well, I'll give you this battle, Lord. You just try this over here and prove to me that you can work it out. Okay, now I'm going to give you a little time. I'm not going to deal with the tough things, Lord. I'm going to hold on to those. I got that by myself, but you can try this. But the word David said, no, oh, taste and see that he is good. David said, I done tried him already. I went to the priest and they gave me some bread and I know the enemy was there. Then I went to the other place and I'm not a man that would have humbled myself. I never would have acted crazy, but the Lord said, And there's a debate whether he followed the Lord or did he go in fear. I don't know. All I know is because he acted crazy in the midst of that man who would have killed him otherwise, God delivered him. So I believe in my spirit that the Lord said, David, humble yourself and walk in there like you are nobody.
Yeah.
God don't want me to be a nobody. No. God does want you to be a nobody. He's the somebody. Uh-oh, y'all didn't get that he's the somebody. David had to forget who he was. He forgot how many men he had killed. He forgot how many battles he had won. He forgot all that. David said, I'm trusting in you, Lord. Said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So David said, try him. And when you try him, then all of a sudden other things come about. If you go to 2 Peter, look at what happens with the Lord. When you try the Lord, 2 Peter 2:1-3 is going to tell you what happened. He says, look, but there were false prophets. So they're going to be around there. They're going to be around. And they'll be teaching you a lot of different things. He said, but wait a minute. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken. And through covenant shall they, what, be feigned words? Oh, say, I will fake these words, make merchandise of you. Those are the ones not following the right thing. But the right thing says what? We will be the ones who what? Have the victory. So we don't worry about the false teachers of today. We try the real Jesus. And because we're trying the real Jesus, we know he's good. The world say, hey, come over here and try this false Jesus. Hey, you speak good. Come on over here and speak. You sing good. Come over here and sing. Oh, you look like you can do this work. And all you got to do is work hard. No, it takes more than hard work. We were taught that as a basis, but it takes Jesus, y'all. And we want to be, we got to surrender. Because now and then, God say, you don't praise me in a crazy way, and you ain't even got to do nothing. But that ain't what the world tell you. If you don't put your own in it, you can't do nothing. Y'all know what Jehoshaphat said. Said what? He said, this battle's not even yours. He said, sing the praise singers. I just got to ask you a question. If you had to choose the warrior for your battles, would you choose a group of singers or would you choose somebody with a sword and a shield?
My God.
Sword and shield. Thank you. Hallelujah. But guess what? If God says choose the singers, I'm choosing the singers. So I ain't even making that decision ahead of time. My answer to that is I'm going to do whatever God says to me. Yes or no. Why? Because he knows what best. If God says sit back on your rusty dusty and watch me figure this out, I'm going to sit back and watch God figure it out. If God says gird up, get your loins together and go out there with the armor and be on the front line, I'm going on the front line. You might be bigger. You might be faster. You might be better. You might be equipped with the gun, but I come in the name of the Lord, and the name of the Lord will overtake whatever you got. Somebody needs to say, so try God, because God is good. I hear people all the time say, look, well, this is where I am. This is where I am. But I come to tell you, be like David. Be like, try God and let God do the work. Let God give you the victory. It ain't good. He said, try God. He's good. Now, think of the dish you like the most. Oh, God, this is good stuff. Thank you, Lord. Think of the dish you like the most. Because, see, we get this thing wrong sometimes. And I don't know what you don't like to eat. I grew up, I didn't like boiled okra, y'all. I didn't like it, would eat it, ain't gonna have nothing to do with it. Okay, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was just that nasty. But as I matured with God and as I've gotten a little bit older, I can eat it now. I learned that I can cook it just a little bit different. And I can eat, so I'll eat some fried okra in a heartbeat, or I'll eat some steamed okra that goes along with the crunch, and it'll be all right. And I see people, but let me tell you something. Every now and then, the word of God is just like that okra or whatever it is you don't like. Every now and then, the word of God is a bitter pill to swallow, but we need to swallow that pill and taste of that word. Why? Because the word we taste of that word is going to be good for our deliverance. It's going to be good for our care. It's going to be good, what? To take care of the situation God has in front of. So, oh, taste and see. Try it by the word. Put God to the test and say, okay, God, I don't like this, but I'm going to do this. Okay, God, they may make me sick. I'm sick and tired of them folks. But guess what? I'm still going to do it. Oh, God, it's okay. I ain't going to trust another person come through my life no more. But guess what? Try God. Because when you do it on your own, there's some issues going on. But when you do it in Jesus, all things point to Christ and all things get delivered. Somebody say, chime. He's good.
My God, my God.
Let me give you an illustration of what that looks like. Over at the Temple Bathtifa, they don't eat a lot of things. But here's what they do, and they've been doing this for years. In order to feed hungry people who need, they've been making sandwiches, and some of the sandwiches are even stuff that they don't eat because it's blessing somebody else. They've been giving this pastor sandwiches for the hungry for over 10 years. And they continue to make. They want to make sandwiches for us today. Say, if you got a need of people who need food, we will make sandwiches every week for you. And you can give them out, and we don't need no money. We will make them. We will give them to you. That's what I'm talking about. That's how good God is. Because sometimes, and I need to make this clear, when we don't embrace certain things, we hinder others from embracing certain things. Why? Because we ain't gonna do it.
My God.
If I'm not gonna, I'll just use my example. If you don't eat peanut butter, okay, and you ain't gonna ever have it around, you ain't gonna ever have kids who eat peanut butter because you don't have it. Because you ate some old broccoli or whatever it is you don't eat. But the reality is that peanut butter might be good for somebody, but you ain't gonna ever be able to give it to them because you ain't gonna ever have it. Because you don't try it. Not that you have to like it, but you got to embrace all of it. So guess what? If you never want for anything anymore, it's very difficult for you to go out to where people really want, because that ain't your environment. That ain't your comfort zone. That ain't what you do. So we have to embrace all of God and know that he's good. David didn't want to act crazy. David didn't want to have to go get bread to beg for. He was beyond that.
Yeah.
I had proven myself, but guess what? David said, I'll do. And then David wrote, look, try God, y'all. Try God. Why? Because I know what God will do. Say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then in 2 Corinthians 12:9, hallelujah, glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb.
Yes.
We know what this says. We know what it says. We talked about this before. And he said unto me, he had to teach Paul this lesson. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. May rest upon me. David said it in this Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not my power, not my might, but the power of the Lord. So today, praise for your testimony. Whatever God has done in your life, whatever he would do, give God the praise. Let your words speak praise. Let your words speak power. Let your words speak peace. Let your words prophesy about what is to come. Let your words tell the truth. And then you can say, as David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can remember once I was so naive in my thinking, say, how can I taste the word of God? That don't make no sense. I'm talking about me, y'all. I can't taste the word of God. I can't put that in my mouth. And then one day a man said, oh, well, be careful now, young man. Be careful now, young man. Say, you believe the word, right? He said, what did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And what happened? Say, the sheriff included him with a coal and placed it on his lips. He placed it in his mouth. It's figurative. It's not literal. This tasting of God means to perceive it.
Yes.
To accept it, to try it, to acknowledge it, to surrender to it, to hold on to it.
Oh, yes.
Your words. When we say we can't, we won't. But instead of saying I can't, say God can. And when you say God can, your words have power. Because God's saying you call out to the Lord.
Yes.
Lord. And he heard my cry. Over and over. God, we've called out to God and he's heard our cry. Over and over, yes. We surrendered to the Lord and he has been faithful to provide for us. Over and over, we've gone through situation after situation and some more than others, but over and over, there's a testimony for every time you say, I can't, God's got dozens who say he did. Oh, somebody didn't hear me. Amen. You said Jesus, this will never work. God said, look, I done been through the ringer all them times and some. You just getting started. But every time I gave it over to God, God did it. So the testimonies of the righteous.
Yes.
Yes. So today, as we wait for this move of God, as we're walking through this move of God, praises for your testimony. Your words have power. Let the negativity move aside. Let the word of God take front street. He said, you won't have to fight in this battle. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's.